Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Hour two of the show. Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ronji. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you're good.
Hey. We are 100 days into Donald Trump's second term in office, and we thought that we would look at this from an economic perspective. Dave Simons is the partner and managing director at One Private Health. You have heard him. What did I say?
Health.
Did I say health?
I heard wealth.
I heard wealth, too.
Dave.
Well, I'm going to ask Dave Simons what he heard. He's also the host of Dollars and Cents on KMOX. Dave Simons with us on the guest line. Hello, Dave.
You know, it might just be the phone, but I did hear health.
Oh, man.
Yes.
All right. Well,
congratulations,
I'm stupid.
Doctor.
Sorry. But yes, yeah, so well.
But I will take it because health is a big part of my lifestyle. So health, wealth, it all works for me.
Health is wealth, they say.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Yes.
All right, so 100 days into this presidency, Dave, what are we thinking?
Oh my gosh, man. I feel like I've lived 1,000 days in this industry. You know, since I last talked to you guys last week, what an amazing turnaround. And that should be a lesson really for all investors that you never can time the market anyway, but especially now, because all it takes is an overnight text from the president or tweet, or it takes some announcement that we've reached an agreement from the tariff situation, and it's just too volatile. A week ago, analysts were talking about April perhaps being the worst April since the Great Depression. Here we are a week later, and now literally like 2 days left, we could actually see a positive April because of the huge turnaround in the market. So that's where we are. It's been unlike any 100 days that I can ever remember in my career. And I don't think it's about to end. So investors, keep those seatbelts on.
Yeah, Dave. And just staying on that point about the uncertainty regarding would this be the worst April since the Great Depression? Could we actually swing it around to be in the positive? It's let's say we're great. April turns out okay. It, from my point of view, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's not no harm, no foul. It's fundamentally destabilizing to run an economy this way. So even though we survived April, couldn't we be doing just long-term damage with not only investors' confidence in the market, but our global partners' confidence in our markets?
You hit the nail exactly. I mean, in fact, a couple of weeks ago in my weekly commentary, I made the analogy on unleashing dark forces that you don't know you're messing with. From an economic standpoint, I mean, you're talking about a global economy that's worth more than $100 trillion. you go into areas that have never really been touched before in this kind of a dramatic fashion, you don't know what you're messing with, really. And we're starting to see this show up in some of the ports, particularly the one in San Francisco. They expect to see a 35% drop of imported goods there in San Francisco in the next week. Well, what does that mean? Well, we don't know. We haven't seen anything like this except one other time, and it was recent, and it was called the pandemic, and it was and the economic global shutdown. And in some ways, we are still feeling the effects of that. So if I have any fear, it's not what's happening today. It's not what's happening tomorrow. It's not this negotiation. It's exactly what you just referenced, Amy. It's what are we unlocking? What are we unleashing in the global economy that we won't see the effects until 3 to 6 months from now? That's the unknown.
There have been multiple investment firms that have over the last month predicted a recession, or they have increased their forecast to, you know, more likely than not. Apollo is one of them, and they think there's a 90% probability that we'll have what they call a voluntary trade reset recession. What does that mean for people, though? What actually does that mean for the economy, or what would it mean for the economy and for anybody listening?
Well, you know, in our little corner of the world, I've also increased my odds of what I see a recession. It's still less than 50-50, but it's closing in on that based on what I just talked about, that we're starting to see some early anecdotal evidence that things are slowing down. We have time to turn this around. It's not inevitable that we go into a recession, but we're heading in that direction if we don't start to see some changes. So, Chris, in answer to your question, what does this mean to people, and in particular to investors? Well, normally a recession is not good for the broader stock market. It is good, though, for other areas like bonds, because the Fed will have to come in and start cutting rates. So that's just something that investors need to keep in mind. Now is not the time. It is not the time for investors to start reaching for risk and saying, oh, man, I'm going to increase my allocation to high-flying growth stocks right now. You just be careful. Maybe keep it defensive. Keep it conservative. Don't cash out. This isn't about panicking. But just make sure that you're properly diversified, and don't hesitate to keep those bond allocations that you have. I know they're boring, but if indeed places like Apollo are right, you'll be glad you own the bonds, because that's where you'll make money.
Dave, I know the value of the U.S. dollar does not rise and fall in a vacuum, but it's all relative to the global economy. When you look at our markets, the volatility of it, the uncertainty, but then also how our policies affect the nations around us, how do you see the dollar being affected?
Well, look, any country, when you look at their currency, if you can just look at one investment or one character trait of a country, it's the currency. And that's everything to America, and has been since World War II. That has set us apart. It's where foreign investors come and find the safe haven during times of global turmoil and tumult, is the U.S. dollar. We just saw the largest decline in the first 100 days of any president in history with our greenback. It fell close to 10%, in fact, in 1 month's time. We've never seen that. That's second and third world countries. So, Amy, what does that mean necessarily going forward? Again, we're in uncharted territory, other than to say we are losing a little bit of our standing in the world. I know that this sounds ominous. It doesn't have to be. There is time to turn this around. I will say this. I have been really pleased to see that Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, seems to be taking more of an upfront role. And people like Navarro have been kind of put aside. That's a good sign. Apparently the president is now listening to the right people. So perhaps this can still turn around. But like I said, stay invested, stay somewhat defensive. Now's not the time to chase growth until we get a little clarity with this.
Dave Simons is with us here on KMOX. And earlier today, UPS announced that they're going to cut 20,000 jobs because their biggest client is Amazon. And Amazon is about to reduce shipments, or there is a reduction in shipments. So therefore, UPS is going to have to make some big cuts. How much more of that do you think we're going to see, especially from larger employers?
Well, this is why companies like Apollo that you referenced are talking about almost an inevitability of a recession. Again, I don't necessarily share that view, but I certainly understand it and respect it because of what you just said. Here's something else that just happened, Chris, that GM, General Motors, just announced this morning earnings of the last quarter that beat estimates. We haven't seen that from the auto industry in a while. So you look at that and go, wow, that's good news. Why is their stock down today? Well, because of what they said afterwards. We basically, and I'm paraphrasing, we have no clarity because of tariffs. Market doesn't like that. And so when you've got a major auto company saying we have no idea how business is going to be 3 months and 6 months from now, that's what happens. This is why some people have been raising their outlook for a recession, because when companies can no longer offer any guidance and consumers say, I'm going to sit on the sideline, and now we're seeing it show up, like you just said, in UPS numbers, even Amazon shipments are down. That's the stuff that once that snowball starts going down the hill, it can be hard to stop. I'm a little worried about it. We're watching.
Hmm. When you're looking at the top stocks over the past month through all of this uncertainty, are you surprised by anybody who's doing well or not doing well?
Yeah, it's a great question, Amy. I was just looking at that this morning. There are 11 subsectors in terms of industries of the stock market, and you know them all. There's energy, there's mm-hmm. finance, there's healthcare, all that. All of them but one are down since inauguration day. All of them. What's the one that's up? Consumer staples. So it's like toothpaste. It's toilet paper. It's the stuff that you have to buy. It's the stuff that we were hoarding during the pandemic. Those are the kinds of stocks that have actually been making money. Everything else across the board is down. The worst performing are what we call consumer discretionary. Those are the big ticket items. Well, you know what, honey? I know our washer's making some noises, but I don't know if we should be spending that kind of money right now. There's so much uncertainty. Let's not buy that Whirlpool just yet. I know the refrigerator is knocking. We'll wait. And certainly we're not going to buy that car right now. We don't even know if we're going to get it before the tariffs. That's what's occurring. That's the anecdotal evidence. And this is the kind of data that I'm watching day to day to see if I need to raise or even hopefully decrease my expectations for a recession. Right now, though, the odds are going up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do these seem to be harbingers or precursors to a recession when people start buying in this way?
Yeah, you know, it could. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy,
yeah.
Right? Well, I know I'm going to go to Walmart and Target and stock up on my usual stuff, even when times are tough. I got to have those things. But those big ticket items, I don't know. And by the way, honey, you know, we're talking about that big vacation at the end of the summer, right before school starts again. You think maybe we should just keep that in the bank right now? Mm-hmm. All that story, once one family decides it, then the second one, and then it's repeated a million times, that's something that's very, very difficult to stop. We need some good news here, honestly, the next couple of weeks, the next month. We've got some more earnings reports coming out. We have the unemployment rate report coming out this Friday. So we've got a number of data points coming out in the next couple of weeks. If that starts to turn positive and we start to see more tariff negotiations getting pulled back a little bit, let's everyone calm down. I think this market can do okay. And then we could finish higher for the year. But we're getting really close to that point of no return, really close. And we could be a month or so away from it.
So, Dave, what would make you feel like we're in the clear? What would have to happen to make you feel like, all right, we're past this. This was just a temporary thing. And now we're on the right path.
Well, let me get dramatic here and just say the president announces today. Just kidding. We're not doing the tariff. Of course, I'm being silly. So in more realistic or practical terms, let's say what he's already kind of done, where he did the 90-day pause outside of the 10% tariffs across the board. They claim that we're negotiating right now with a lot of these countries. Okay, if that's true, then maybe some positive announcement can be made with the European Union, Australia, Canada, Mexico. It doesn't have to be Russia or China at this point. I'm just talking about our friends. And if we can announce that things have been settled, everyone's kind of pleased, and let's move forward, the Dow will rocket up 1,000 points. Then people will start to feel good about their outlook, and then they will book that vacation. So that's why I'm not 100% pessimist here. A recession is not inevitable, in my opinion, but we need some of that kind of good news to come out sooner rather than later.
Dave Simons, we always appreciate it. He is the partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. And it turns out I did screw up earlier. One Private Health. Damn it. You were right. Dave was right. Matt was right.
What's weird is my brain filled in the blanks.
Mine too.
You know, so I heard wealth.
Clearly mine did.
Yeah.
Well,
you both jumped right into, but like I said, I wouldn't beat yourself up. I'll take help. In fact, I'm going to go back and talk to my partners about renaming the company. I like that, actually.
You want your health to be private, too. That's good. You know, well, HIPAA and all that.
How about One Private Wealth Health?
I'll take it.
Great.
I'll take it.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll get it trademarked. All right, guys.
You're the
best. Have a great rest of your week. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. And is he with us every Tuesday now?
Wealth.
Every Tuesday.
One Private Wealth.
Wealth. Did you know? You know the reason that, you know, you say what
Wheat
and
why
you're supposed to? Is that in Old English, the way it was written, the H did come before the W.
Did you know in a lot of typing machines back in the day, the S's are F's? So it's like United States.
I did know this. And there's a reason I knew it, and I can't remember what that reason is. There was something very specific that I'll think about, and I'll get back to you. It's Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. Tell us what you think of Donald Trump's first 100 days in office. We are still accepting your voice messages straight from the Odyssey app. You can also text us at 314-436-7900, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're going to talk some sports with sports anchor and reporter at KMOV, Tamar Scher. She will join us. Also, she's with Matrix Midwest, and she will be with us after 10:30. We have asked you what your thoughts are on the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. It is his second term. There's been a lot that has happened in that first 100 days. We just talked to Dave Simons, who says this felt like a 1,000 days, which I think is accurate. There's both good and bad in there, for sure. And we want to hear from you, so send us a text message what your thoughts are and tell us why you feel the way you feel. 314-436-7900. Voice messages, leave those straight from the Odyssey app. Dennis is in St. Louis and is checking in. How's it going, Dennis?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Great.
My comment was, if you want to learn about tariffs, read about Smoot-Hawley from the 1930s. It is what that did to banks. And also, it's nothing more than a sales tax on the American people. You know, instead of raising income tax or whatever, they'll raise your sales tax. The other thing is, all the executive orders going back to Biden, Obama, whatever, Congress isn't doing their job. They can't get along. So I'd encourage everybody, keep writing your Congress, congressional representatives, senators, tell them to start to pass some meaningful legislation. I don't think that, in the first 100 days, they haven't passed anything meaningful. So, just thought I'd comment on that, and I'm sure your reps would love to hear from you.
Well, yeah, I mean, they better, because that's what they are there for.
Well, and you hit on a lot of really big points. The bloated expansion of the executive branch going back multiple administrations because Congress isn't doing its job. They're not compromising. They're not passing meaningful legislation. So they say, well, let's get our guy in the White House and he'll just do it by fiat. I agree. Congress needs to take the power back. Congress has the power to stop the tariffs.
But it looks like it's not going to. Here's the problem, though. And I don't know that this will ever go away ever again. It used to be that we were all living the same reality. Mm-hmm. We're not now. And half of members of Congress are playing to one audience and the other half are playing to the other audience, right? So it's we're not in on anything together. There are very, very few things that everybody can agree on. And I don't think we ever get back to the point where everybody agrees on this. Because even in the polling now, and the president is not doing well in terms of polling, approval rating is historically low at the 100-day mark. And that's just the reality. The Fox News polls, CNN polls, it doesn't matter what poll you're looking at. He is underwater in most places. However, when you split it by party vote, all the Republicans think he's doing great. You know, they're happy with everything he's doing. Independents are not. Independents are overwhelmingly displeased with him. Obviously, Democrats are displeased with him. But I don't know that we're ever going to get to a point again, or what would have to happen to get us to a point where we're all on the same page again.
You know, it's the politics as entertainment industrial complex. And in that world, it really is a choose your own adventure reality. And yep. What's funny is some sociologists have said, technology affects culture and society way more than any political ideology coming out of Europe or whatever. And in so many ways, that's true. The way cars changed the way Americans live and interact, when you look at the combination of technological advances over the past few decades, it has allowed us to suddenly choose our own adventure. And we're choosing our own reality. And we can quite literally curate a world, a media world around us where we hear only what we want to hear.
Yeah. So what snaps us back into the way things used to be? Where we're, I think something.
The grid goes out.
Something very significant and horrible would have to happen for us to go back to that. And I don't want that to happen.
I mean, it would be something like the grid where all of a sudden we're just all trying to eat and find clean water. And suddenly what you're tweeting doesn't matter because no one has any phones.
That's correct. Maybe that is it. And I hope that's not it because that would be pretty damn awful, too. That's the worst possible case.
I know.
We're
just living. This is not the worst time to be alive. It's just the stupidest.
Well, I'll tell you what's stupid. The fact our team can't win on the road.
What's going on?
Cardinals haven't been able to win away from Busch Stadium this year. Something needs to change. And Tamar Scher with KMOV and Matrix Midwest, she's going to fix it for us. She's next.
A swing, and there's a drive left center field. That's in the park, and it's caught by Friedel. This ball game has come to an end. Arenado with a fly ball out. And the Cardinals' last hit was a double by Pedro Páez in the fifth inning. Their last base runner, a walk to Donovan in the sixth. Nothing after that. The Reds win 3-1.
Yep, the road struggles continue for our St. Louis Cardinals. They will play again tonight. It is the second of four. We have a 4:45 pregame show with Matt Pauly and the first pitch 5:40. As the Redbirds play in Cincinnati. Time to go to the guest line today, and we bring in sports anchor and reporter for KMOV. You can also see her on Matrix Midwest. Tamar Scher is with us on the show. How's it going, Tamar?
It is going great, even better. I get to start my morning with you guys. I always say I love coming on here, so it's a beautiful day in St. Louis. Not for the Cardinals, but for St. Louis, yes.
Yeah.
And I will say, Ronge, people, radio is so intimate. When with media, you get to know people. I felt like I knew Tamar really well. And did we officially meet at the hockey game on Sunday tomorrow? Was that the first time? Because
yep.
I felt like I knew you so well from talking to you, seeing you on TV. So, Rhonda, basically what I'm saying is we're friends now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would consider best friends.
Uh-huh.
Because
wow.
Once you get in the space and you're especially a woman in sports and you know sports, you just gravitate toward each other. So that's going to be the claim that I have. But yes, it was so nice to officially see your awesome face and love that we are now officially friends in person.
Boy, she is buttering you up, man.
Well, we're best friends, Ron. One day you'll get a best friend.
You know what? I'm good. all my friends suck. I don't want any more. I've got all I can handle.
That's
but tomorrow I'll be your friend, too. It's
okay, thank
but
you.
But first of
love
all,
it.
Hold on.
Oh.
You have to tell us why the Cardinals can't win any games away from home first.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could answer that for you. I don't think Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, can answer that very well either. I know he's been asked that multiple times over the last few weeks. But, man, whether that be bullpen issues or the offense not wanting to get going. I mean, you look at last night's game and what was that was said? No hits after the fifth inning for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So that was the issue last night. And that's coming off a clunker. Of course, you win a series at home against the Brewers, which hopefully lifts you up. And then you see that last night it was no different, a 3-1 loss to the Reds. Not something the Cardinals like to see. Maybe they can turn things around today, but they only have 2 wins on the road this season.
Yeah.
And it's almost May, so not looking good there. But I am very curious of why it's only on the road, because they're seeming to be able to pull out series at home. They just need to be able to translate that on the road.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, how it is still a small enough sample size and they are so poor on the road that you would have to assume that some of it has to be a fluke. You cannot be 10-5 at home and 2-12 now, 2-13, or whatever it is on the road. That doesn't make sense. There can't be a binary that exists like that. So I think the numbers will even out a little bit, but it's definitely they are struggling so much on the road that if they're not able to turn it around soon enough, they're going to find themselves in a hole that they might not be able to get out of.
Certainly a small sample size. That's a good way to put it. Of course, it is only April. We're entering May. How do things turn around? Sometimes teams have bad Aprils. They're able to turn things around. It looks like a completely different team in May. But what's important is that this team, as they're going through this transition period, as they've coined it, to be able to pull out series wins. So, okay, if they didn't sweep the Brewers, but they did grab a series win. They were able to get a series win over the Astros, the Phillies. I mean, those are important series to be able to grab hold of and take home. You see in Nolan Arenado and what he's been able to do, how he's been able to produce. You can't have a walk-off home run every single day, but the fact of the matter is they are finding ways to win. It is early, but I get you on the road. It's tough. And I think we need to see more games and more results to find a trend here, because I'm not really seeing a trend of why they can't seem to pull it out there.
You know, it's probably way too early to start talking about this, but I know it is. It's starting to creep into the consciousness that there could be a point here in the next few months where Arenado is traded. And after they, you know, tried all off season to get that done, then they couldn't get it done. And then he started the season with them and he did really well out of the gate. Now the reality is starting to set in a little bit that, you know, this could be sort of a, I don't know, a farewell tour. If he continues to play well and the Cardinals don't, do you think, I'm sure he's not thinking about it, but he has to be at least a little aware of that possibility, right?
I mean, in my opinion, when he comes out and he is at a Cardinals opening day in St. Louis and the reception that he gets from fans is just unbelievable. Everyone, not that he was surprised that everyone was excited to see him, because to his defense, you know, he said he wants to be a Cardinal for as long as possible. It wouldn't be his decision necessarily to leave wholeheartedly. So that being said, I think he's found comfort and he's been able to dial in the emotions of playing well in the now. You know, he got kind of, you know, he had an awkward laugh when talking about after his walk-off home run. And he's like, you know what, last year was bad for me. I don't want to talk about it anymore, essentially. Of course, you have to acknowledge that it existed. But he's certainly turning it on this year. I think last year was a bad year for him. We leave it at that. And this year, he's playing more like Nolan Arenado. Of course, his defense has always been incredible. But on the offensive front, he has been playing with more power, more excitement there. And he had something to prove for himself. So I don't think that necessarily has to do with the fact that he wants to go elsewhere. This is a farewell tour. It could be. But at the same time, I think it's something he had to prove to himself because he's the ultimate competitor. And you see that day in, day out. Now, how all the guys talk about him in the clubhouse.
Yeah, trying to look at some of the positives here with the Cardinals. One of them would be Pallante had a good game yesterday, and then the bullpen kept the Cardinals in it. The game didn't right. get away from them. So is it one step forward in the right direction for a bullpen that has been struggling?
Yeah, and I think the bullpen has their days, and I think then it was the offense that was struggling yesterday, and that's what got them dug into a hole that they couldn't get out of. And you're watching the last couple innings of that game, you're like, okay, someone just needs to get a hit, someone needs to get on base, and it wasn't happening. So yes, you could say one step forward, two steps back, but at the same time, like you mentioned before, still a small sample size. So yes, of course, Ryan Helsley blew it in the end. Arenado saved him a couple games ago, but at the same time, you're not going to have an Arenado walk-off every day, as I keep saying. And you're not going to have Helsley blowing saves because he is one of the best to do it in the league. So I think that you think about that. There's one-off situations, but you got to have support across the board. And definitely the last two games, Cardinals did not have support on offense.
Do you get the sense that overall they've been satisfied with starting pitching?
I think so. I would say so. Across the board, I think they like what they're seeing. Of course, yesterday happened to Andre Pallante, but I think they do like what they're seeing from him. I think there weren't any situations in which they've been concerned about their starters necessarily, and it's more turning to how do we manage the bullpen, especially when it comes to on the road, when they are using Helsley or traditional save opportunity standpoint. Like, I think that is more of what they're trying to figure out. It's trying to figure out how they utilize the bullpen, less about not having confidence in their starters.
Tomorrow, another late face-off as the Blues take on the Jets in Winnipeg. 8:30 puck drop. The talk has been Vezina Trophy favorite Connor Hellebuyck seemingly imploding here at Enterprise Center. And wanted to get your thoughts on what you expect to see from him in Winnipeg. Obviously, an enormous amount of pressure on him as he played incredible during the regular season, as he always does. And the Blues have been able to get into his head. They've also been able to set up screens in front of him. And he has not been able to work around those screens successfully.
What's incredible, Blues were able to put up 11 goals against Hellebuyck in the last two games. They chased him twice. You think about that and what that does on a confidence standpoint for a goaltender who, of course, is one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. When it comes to the regular season, of course, as you just mentioned, it seems as though things are falling apart there. It also seems as though Blues are picking things up, picking up the energy. Jim Montgomery talked about the attitude he wanted to see from this Blues team going into the home two games of the series. And I think that's going to be what's critical to see how they can do that now on the road. And of course, as we saw in the first two games, Hellebuyck doing what he does best at home. And I think it's going to be about, you know, the emotional roller coaster that takes in your mind. You just gave up 11 goals, got chased twice. Now you have to go back home and prove in front of your fans. He's definitely going to have, again, that something to prove mentality for himself because he is one of the best to do it. I think he can turn himself out of it. But Blues got to continue to put on the pressure net front. That's what they've been saying all along. Jordan Binnington keeps doing what Jordan Binnington does. And I think, again, it's not like the first two games were runaway games for the Jets at all. They were tight games. Blues were obviously in it. Third period, they weren't able to get things done. So you hope that that pressure stays up on both sides. But I think the Blues are going to come in hungry knowing that, hey, we just did it. We just beat the top team in the league.
Tamar, I know you're in the locker room, and I don't know if you saw recently on the, I think it was NHL on TNT with Paul Bissonnette asking Robert Thomas about Jobu and the good luck charm in the Blues locker room. And Thomas, I mean, the Blues are, I mean, they could be like a political organization with a top secret, the way they are just perfectly, they have the line, sorry, you're not going to know anymore. Have you personally had a chance to try to get any information out of any of the players regarding Jobu?
Well, of course. And you already know they're tight-lipped. They're not going to tell me anything. And I have to tell you, I kind of love it because you want to see teams in that togetherness mentality. And the fact that they've all collectively, whether it be Jobu, whether it be the stare down, you know, they love doing things together as a team. You can see the relationships built. I mean, this is a group, you got a lot of veterans, but you got a lot of young guys who are having their first opportunities in playoff hockey. And I think that when you see a team start to come together in this way and build off of each other, you got Jimmy Snuggerud staying with Captain Braden Schenn. I mean, those are the things that make for really good teams. So yeah, I've tried to ask. No, I haven't gotten anything. I don't think we're going to get anything. We're as close as it gets. If the beat writers aren't getting it either, I don't think we're all going to get it. So that being said, we'll still try and ask around, but I love what this team is doing.
Speaking of close, I'm really glad you and Amy are best friends now.
I know.
Hey, yeah. It just took one meeting, a playoff hockey atmosphere. Everyone's happy in that atmosphere. How can you not be? It was electric. But Amy, so glad we're besties now.
I am thrilled to death, Tamar. I'm so glad we're best friends, too.
I'm not upset.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
I still haven't even met Amy, actually. We're always in different rooms, so...
Hilarious.
Yeah, he has a rule, no eye contact.
Oh, God, stop looking my direction. Tamar Scher, thank you.
Thank you so much, Tamar.
Can't wait to chat with you guys soon. Thanks for having me.
That's Tamar Scher, anchor and reporter at KMOV, and you'll see her on Matrix Midwest as well. And if they don't win tomorrow, it's her fault. Let me tell you somebody I do not care about. Okay. Pete Rose. You know who Pete Rose is?
The cheater?
Yeah, the all-time hits leader, the cheater, the the gambler. So the commissioner of baseball yesterday said that he is discussing or did discuss with President Trump at a meeting a couple of weeks ago about the ban that Pete Rose is under. And Rose passed away, obviously, at the age of 83. It was several last year at some point. But this would be a posthumous award if he's to make it into the Hall of Fame. As most people who have followed him know, he's not allowed in the Hall of Fame right now because he had been banned from baseball for betting on baseball. I like to do sports betting. I think it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's a hobby. Mm-hmm. I don't put a lot of money into it. It's just a thing that I think is, adds a little bit to watching a game here and there. There are so many people, and it feels like the overwhelming feeling about Rose is, oh, let him in. You know, what's the big deal? You've got these guys who are on steroids in, except for like Mark McGwire is not in and Barry Bonds isn't in. Those guys aren't, which I think they should be allowed in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I hate this. And my guess is that after meeting with the president and after this public sentiment and after the death of Rose, that Manfred is going to take him off that banned list, which would then open his candidacy up to become a Hall of Famer again, potentially. I am all for letting the steroids guys in, and that's going to sound hypocritical. you're probably going to go, well, how come that those cheaters are allowed in, but these other guys aren't? Look, people have been cheating to overperform in sports forever, and many of them are already in various halls of fame. The one thing you cannot do as an athlete, just it's the absolute one thing as it pertains to the sport itself that you cannot do, is bet on your team. And I don't want to hear, oh, well, he only bet on the Reds to win. He only bet on his team to win. It doesn't matter.
That can take down an entire sport.
Here's the problem with only betting on your team to win. Because the people who know that you've bet, the sharps, they know when you don't bet on your team to win. So why are you not betting on your team to win on Tuesday? That's because you think you're going to lose. The one thing a sport cannot survive is if people think the outcome is fixed.
Yeah.
So gambling is an absolutely hard no. Pete Rose, never anywhere near the Hall of Fame,
also,
as far as I'm concerned.
And also not near high schools, because he cheated on his wife with a minor, was sleeping with an underage girl. I'm like, well, that's not even the worst thing he did. That's a pretty bad thing to do.
Well, there's that, too.
I just always have to bring that up with gross, slimy, gross Pete Rose.
There is a character clause in the Hall of Fame. So you have to be of high moral character.
Is there a character clause?
There is,
he
technically.
He broke it, sleeping with that child. Ugh.
Yeah.
I did not cry when he died.
Oh, no. Screw Pete Rose. Who cares?